The Radio Academy Festival 2023. Sound Connections.
Hello, I'm Sean Thorne and welcome to the Radio Academy podcast, where we're hearing from some of the speakers and contributors to this year's Radio Festival. This is the second episode of this little mini-series that we're doing from the festival. But if you've happened to stumble across this one first, then it's all good because they can be enjoyed in any order, to be honest. I mentioned it last week, but the theme of this year's Radio Festival was Sound Connections. So the conversations that we had were built around how we're connecting with audiences and how we can innovate that connection with audience through the emergence of new platforms and new technologies. And also we talk about the importance of connecting with those across our industry at events like the Radio Festival. So our first stop, we're going to this little podcast garden we'd fashioned for ourselves at the Royal College of Physicians. So if you can imagine a lovely bench surrounded by flowers and various foliage, and on aforementioned bench is Edward Adu having a chat with Matt Deegan and Manveen Rana, all about the future of speech audio.
It's Edward Adu, I'm here with Manveen Rana, Matt Deegan. I would say the dons or the queens of speech radio podcast. Was that a good way of summing it up? To you first because I'm a gentleman.
I will definitely take that description. I'm not sure if it's true, but that's very kind of you.
What's your take on the current state of speech radio and podcast?
Oh, I think it's in rude health. It's in such
rude
a...
health. Rude how health. Would you sum up rude health?
I think it's blooming. I think it's doing incredibly well at the moment. I think it's doing better than an awful lot of other formats like TV because nobody's got the time to sort of sit around watching things in a linear way anymore. You know, I work for a newspaper, but I get onto the tube in the morning and I don't see anybody with a newspaper anymore. I see them with AirPods in their ears. Everybody is listening at some point in the day in some way, and I think that's a great position to be in for our industry.
So from your take on from a digital perspective, is that reaching out to a youth audience as well, do you think? Do you think that the next generation are able to consume speech, news content, way you used to back in the day?
Yeah, I think they're just listening differently, but they're still listening. I mean, so we were set up, I present the Stories of Our Times podcast, we were set up in order to be able to reach people who maybe don't listen to, say, Radio 4 or, you know, the places you used to go to in terms of linear radio to get your news. Instead, we sort of give you like the big explainer, here's what you need to know in a podcast form. And hopefully that makes it even easier for people to access what's happening.
Is that the way forward, Matt?
I think we're very fortunate that young people have access to so many podcasts. And when I was growing up, I didn't really have any interest in speech radio per se. The channels that existed didn't speak to me. We weren't in a Radio 4 household. I'd never listened. We had Radio 1 on in the car. So actually, I think for people who are maybe music radio people, actually there are little inroads they can make into speech. They can learn the habit through podcasts. That's not to say there isn't kind of more to do. I think oddly, broadcast radio does a great job in linear, it does a great job in on demand, but there are loads of other people doing things. I think that's actually exciting. You know, organizations, companies, broadcasters, media companies, individuals who are creating something that's important to them, hoping that they find an audience for it.
So there's loads of people doing things, but is it getting out there to say Gen Z or Alpha?
Yeah, well, Alpha, hopefully we're fun kids. We're teaching kids that they should listen to the radio or listen to podcasts. I think we don't have a God-given right for these people to come and consume the stuff we make.
Is that being too polite, having that philosophy?
No, because I think sometimes radio assumes that everyone listens and assumes that that they're going to continue to listen in the future. You know, we have to fight for every listener and prove to them that we're in a good place. I think one of the sad things on the linear radio side at the moment is the broadcasters are moving the younger stations off of FM and giving those frequencies to the older stations because that's where a lot of the radio hours are. So that's good from an economics perspective. But are they abandoning somewhat the younger audiences because they're hard to figure out or it's more difficult to create something? Or if you create a program, it's not going to have as many listeners as knocking out something for an audience, say over 40, over 50, who love radio and will give it lots of hours. So that becomes radio's challenge to keep focused that they've got to bring in people in the front door so they turn into the listeners later on that maybe will make them more money.
So Matt, they're talking about the challenges. Manvi, do you think some outlets have, they're scared to reach out to the next gen and they don't know how to do it? I mean, from your perspective, yeah, you're over at Times. What is the agenda to try and bring in the next generation of listeners, both linear, podcast, digital, any form?
Yeah, I mean, it is the million-dollar question. How do you replenish your audience? For us, I mean, you know, going from a newspaper, which has an average readership, which is definitely a few decades older than the podcast itself was a great
way. Would you mind telling us the average readership?
No.
I've got to ask.
But it's sort of, you know, it immediately sort of opens you up to a younger audience anyway. So suddenly the stories that you're producing, you know, the investigations that you're throwing resources at are reaching more people. They're going further than they used to. And then just even within the world of podcasts, you know, I have to say, I mean, I feel like an idiot, but, you know, for years I was like, oh, it's such an audio purist, where I was like, look, the reason people listen to podcasts more is because, you know, you can go with them to the gym, you can go wherever they're going and you're in their ear, and that's why it's so...
Well, you're against them.
Oh, no, I love podcasts, but I was like, look, it's all about the audio. And I have to say I was an idiot, because it was only later I realized that, you know, one of the ways we reach an audience we would have struggled to reach normally, and we reach younger people, is on YouTube. And we don't even put images up. It's astonishing. I don't know why people sit around listening to a half-hour show without images. For me, for my generation, that seems really alien.
Manvi, Matt, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Big thanks to Matt and Manvi for chatting to us after their talk on the main stage at the Radio Festival. We're going to be heading over to the Arias stage now. This was a stage where all of the speakers had won gold at that year's ARIA Awards, and Akila Rodriguez was speaking to Ramesh Ranganathan, whose show For the Love of Hip Hop won gold at the ARIAs for Best Specialist Music Show.
Welcome to the Radio Academy podcast. Akila Rodriguez here. It has been quite a day at the Radio Academy Festival this year, talking everything from AI to connecting with your audiences. One particular speaker had a very full audience when he took to the ARIA stage, and that was Ramesh Ranganathan, comedian, of course, and winner of Best Music Specialist Show at the 2023 ARIAs for his show For the Love of Hip Hop. I managed to catch up with him just after he stepped off the stage.
You were talking earlier about sort of having your personal connection with your show.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to ask you, because obviously with your career, stand-up, TV, lots of visuals, you're now in the audio space. How do you find getting that connection with the audience?
Well, I would say that I'm at a bit of an advantage because I've got a profile already. I think it's sort of been easier for me than it would have been for somebody coming straight into radio without that. So I'm probably less qualified than most to answer that question. But I feel like... you know, you're trying to make a personal connection with the listener, and I have had to change my way of thinking a little bit, you know, like in terms of, like, it is different to doing TV, it is different to doing stand-up, so you're trying to, you just have to be aware that it is, in a way, it's a restriction, but actually there's something much more personal about being on the radio. You know, like, people sit around and watch the TV, but the radio, it's like it just feels like you're properly in their ear, do you know what I mean? So I think it feels a bit more intimate. TV's a bit more grandstanding, do you know what I mean?
You should definitely give yourself more credit, because even you were saying how your mission, trying to get new people into hip-hop, that's reaching a new audience that you've not necessarily had before. So you must be doing something right.
I mean, who knows? I mean, I'm loath to say that I'm doing anything right, to be honest with you. But you know, we do get emails into the show from people saying they didn't think hip-hop was for them, and it is now, and that feels really, really good. So, listen, it's an ongoing mission. We're nowhere near where we need to be. We need everybody to recognise hip-hop as the greatest genre in the world. When that finally happens, I don't know if there'll be a certificate or something, and then I'll stop doing the show. But until then, we've got to carry on. It's
fair
a mission.
Play. Is this your first time at the Radio Academy Festival?
It is, yeah. I'm very intimidated, to be honest.
Really?
Well, I'm just like a novice in this world, you know, so...
Are you using it like the rest of us, making connections in this world, or are you too famous for that now?
I'm not too famous, but what I would say is that my connections are not benefited by meeting me, do you know what I mean? So So I would say that the best thing I can do for my job is to meet as few people as possible. I'm not good at first impressions, you know what I mean?
I don't believe that.
No, honestly, it's true. I mean, I've turned it on for this, but if we'd have met socially, you wouldn't want to work with me ever again.
How do you find sort of networking events like this? Do you find them quite vital? Have you found them in your career quite useful?
I think that, like, an opportunity to meet people in the industry and sort of, and also just to get a feel what the industry is like is really, really important. I think it can be intimidating. You know, I'm socially awkward, and so my natural instinct is to shy away from things like this. But what I would say to anybody that's sort of feeling like that might be the case, I relate to you and I feel your struggle. But what I would say is that the benefits far outweigh the negatives. Like, just grab the bull by the horns, grab something by the scruff of the neck, and just go for it. You'll feel a little bit awkward at first, but everybody feels a bit awkward in these situations. If you overcome that, it's a great opportunity. So there you go.
And be funny, that helps.
Listen, if you can be funny, do your best. I'm not always funny, but it happens to the best of us, you know?
Thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
We're going to stay with Akhila. All of Akhila's interviews were happening in the Treasures Room. I was saying that there were some interesting spots to be having these conversations for the podcast. But just by the Aria stage, there was what was called the Treasures Room in the Royal College of Physicians, which looks exactly as you can probably imagine it. Cabinets full of excellent medical-based treasures. And there was like this throne thing in the corner of the room. So our next chat, sat on the throne, chatting to Akhila Rodriguez, is Kalik Mir.
I'm hanging out in the Treasure Room where guests are stepping off the Aria stage. And I'm currently with Kalik Mir, who's the commissioning executive for the BBC Sounds Audio Lab. Kalik, you commission a lot of podcasts for the BBC. You hear them in all their forms before they go out. At what point, when you're listening to a pitch, an idea, a demo, whatever form it comes to you, do you imagine the audience hearing it and their reaction?
So I think it starts with the strategy or a plan or a vision. And that's usually driven, informed at the BBC by the audience need. So we've got lots of information about the makeup of the UK, the you know, different demographics, different regions, who we are serving well, who we need to serve better, and who we're not serving at all, right? It's all out there, and you don't even need to work in the BBC to get your head around that. There's huge amounts of information about this. So it makes sense that then we have a plan about who we want to target or who we want to engage better with. And if you pay your license fee, you deserve something that reflects you, your life, your lived experience, and something you can connect with. It really is that simple.
You say it's simple,
no,
but you just mentioned all this information that you then go, people will connect with this versus something what they won't.
So the plan isn't complicated. The objective isn't complicated. What makes it hard is all the other things that are consuming the audiences that we want to make stuff for. And let's be honest, some do it better than us. We also know that once you've built a really strong, emotional, evocative relationship with a brand, a platform, it's incredibly hard to compete with that or convince someone to switch. However, we have to keep trying and we have to keep doing, not necessarily switch them off to us, but offer them something that they can engage with. So those that may look like us, sound like us, that don't see a BBC as a natural space for them, change their views and do appreciate what we do and how we can, if you like, complement all the other stuff they're getting from other parts and other brands and other sources and other platforms.
What would you say would be the key elements of a podcast that you know connect with people?
So I think it's got to be real, hasn't it? It's got to come from within. It's got to come from the soul. These have to be real, genuine thoughts, feelings, experiences. And we were just talking in the session earlier about Tommy Dixon, calling him Britain. I believe he won the Best New Podcast Award because what he offered there was, you know, unique, and his treatment was innovative in many different ways. But if you strip all that away, it was real. It was authentic. It was him. It was believable who he was, his style, his way of doing stuff, his way of saying things. There was so much of him in this. And I think that's really, really important. And I think that's a challenge for all platforms. And I think because the BBC is so, if you like, universal and so broad, that can be a particular challenge. And nuance, I think, is the bit around authenticity that we maybe don't necessarily talk enough about.
In terms of things like the Radio Academy Festival, how important have you found it in your career and for people that you've worked with to have spaces like this to meet people, to network?
I mean, it's invaluable, isn't it? You know, the Radio Academy Festival isn't just a day of insightful, inspiring sessions. It's the place that, and a couple of people said it, saying that I only ever see you here every year because our worlds go in different directions when we leave this place. But every time we do get together, we pick back up and continue that. So that's really important. I think initiatives like 30 Under 30, you know, that's brilliant, and thrilled to have worked with, you know, a number of different people over the years that were part of that. I think the things that are, again, a part of the festival, but throughout the year, like the gatherings and the networking sessions, and are really important. There's so much to talk about. There's so much to share, and particularly having lost, and we probably didn't know at the time, but on reflection, having lost moments to come together in person during COVID and lockdown. I didn't realise how much of this we missed, and sound connections, you know, our business is communicating. Our business is being able to, you know, look one another in the eyes and connect in order for us to then, you know, go on and make and create the best audio for others, you know.
The Radio Academy Festival 2023, Sound Connections.
We've got some more gold winners from the Arias on the way for you because we're going to be chatting to Zach and Jules. So Zach and Jules were the joint winners of the 2023 Aria for Best New Presenter as co-hosts on the Life After Prison podcast. And they had a conversation with Simon Lederman.
This is the Radio Academy Festival podcast, and we are at the Royal College of Physicians, joined by ARIA winners Zach and Jules from National Prison Radio, the podcast, which is, of course, called Life After Prison. Yeah. It's great to see you both. Thank you for doing this with us today. Congratulations on the ARIA. What was your secret?
We can't say, can we?
Yeah, if we can, then everyone would bottle it up.
Yeah.
It was the secret. Well, we was talking before, and I think the formula is understanding your audience, having the passion to do it, you know, working alongside someone like Zach, you know, you can win awards. So, Jules, how does it feel to win?
Of course it was my face. No, I'm joking. He's right. Like, what we do is we really care about what we do, and connecting with our audience and our guests and the people that, you know, anyone that is related to Life After Prison, it means a lot to us, and we want it to, you know, we want to be able to help people. So as long as our passion's there, nothing's going to really change, right?
Yeah. And just being our authentic selves, you know, there's like, and being unapologetic about it, you know, not trying to you know, conform, because, you know, we're talking about prison, we're talking about the journey of life after prison as well, and what that all that that's associated with it. So it's keeping it real, it's being authentic, but speaking to our audience and staying true to who we are. Yeah.
One of the things we've been speaking about is audiences now and audiences in the future. Yeah. And what amazed me is that you've been doing this 18 months, but you have an absolute understanding without any doubt about who your audience are and what they want. Yeah. Did that just come to you?
So Life After Prison,
it's taken me 30 years.
I mean, it is really what it says. You know, we are about how good it can be after prison, and how if you have been to prison, like, don't stop, don't give up, you know. So yeah, it's kind of like easy, you know. It's just speaking to the people that have been in our situation.
Yeah, but and to add to that, it's about also creating something that's unique. You know, it's about what does each guest, because sometimes we have guests that come on and we're like, what does each guest bring that's different to the other guests, and who do they speak to, and what can we really emphasize?
Why do our listeners want to hear from them, and
exactly.
How are they going to benefit from them, yeah. And how are they going to benefit from us? It's not just about me and Zach, like, hey, we've been to prison. It's like, why are we doing this? Yeah. We want to do it to help people and to break stigma.
And how important was it hearing from people like you when you were inside? Because for so many people, we heard you talking about it on stage here. It's the understanding that you're not alone.
Yeah. You know, really showing people that, you know what, when you get out, because when you get out of prison, it can be a lonely journey. It can be a really tough one as well. So connecting with people that are like-minded, that have been there before, it makes it easier because you're able to have a sounding board. Like, okay, look, I'm going through this. What did you do when you went through this kind of particular situation? And that support network, building a network of like-minded people that can really spur people on.
If we heard, you know, like stuff that if I heard people... Well, if I was inside and I heard people, you know, winning an aria, it would give me motivation, like inspiration.
Sorry, did you win an aria?
I didn't know.
I didn't know. No, I'm joking. We must keep talking about it more.
Do you know what? Is it in the bio?
Did you put it in your bio? I put it in mine. Aria winning.
honestly, it would give me motivation to be like, right, I'm getting out and I can make a life, and that's what we want to do.
Yeah.
We didn't that's not why we won the aria, do you know what I mean? But
no, but you know what, it just goes to show that you know, there's people that have talent within the prison system and within the criminal justice system.
So much talent,
so much ability, and it's untapped, you know, and some people don't even get the chance to express it or show
up.
It.
Yeah, and this is like saying, don't give up.
Don't give
and
up.
How does it feel to see the massive, I don't even know what size they are, Spotify posters all over town?
All right, that was incredible, I'm not going to lie. We managed to get down to, where is it, Piccadilly Circus? Not Piccadilly
Leicester
Circus,
Square.
Leicester Square.
Where the Hippodrome is.
Yeah, by the Hippodrome, yeah. And it's just so surreal. Real surreal moment. Really proud one as well. And it just goes to show there's life after prison, ain't there?
And is this your first Radio Academy Festival?
Yeah, this is our first.
Enjoying it?
I'm absolutely loving it. And I heard there's pizza and drinks soon. So, you know, I might have to stay.
Yeah, get them out.
Yeah.
Zach and Jules, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Big thank you to Simon, Zach and Jules. And also, just a massive thank you to everybody who contributed to these podcasts. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, you can hear from Steve Lamack, Helena Merriman, BBC Radio 4 controller, Mohit Bakaya. And we also have a really, really lovely chat about how we can connect with Gen Z audiences with Kat Agostinho. But that's it for this episode of the Radio Academy podcast. We've got one more podcast from the Radio Festival coming up for you. We've loads more speakers, Stephanie Hurst, Ralph Bernard and Pete Snodden, and loads more excellent people. Again, gotta say a massive thank you to Edward Adu, Simon Lederman, Akila Rodriguez and Imogen Brewer for all their help on bringing this podcast to you all. Hope you've had a lovely, wisdomous time, and we will see you on the next episode.